Mitch Harper joins us from BYU's Rivals and the Cougar Center podcast. He was live at Pro Day. We did not make the trip down. Mitch, how are you?
Hey, doing great, guys. Happy to be on.
Thanks for taking some time with us. So we saw that Taysom Hill put up some impressive numbers. Can you give us a rundown on those?
Yeah, I ran a 4.44 40. That's a lot of fours there. But Taysom looked great. I mean, to think a guy coming off of four seasons of season-ending injuries to put up that good of a 40 time, which would be considered the best quarterback 40 time if he would have been at the combine, Taysom looked great. He had a 38.5-inch vertical. You know, I watched him a lot in the positional drills as well, his footwork kind of dropping back, his five-step drop, seven-step drop. He dropped back quite a bit. Looked good for the most part, but I think the guys, the key for Taysom still, he's going to have to consider changing positions. And he even said, after all the drills were finished, that he is open to doing that. And I think that's going to be the path for him to try and stick in the NFL because, honestly, guys, I mean, with his age and just his mechanics as a quarterback, I just can't picture him having an NFL franchise invest time and resources into him as a quarterback. But, hey, maybe it's a running back, maybe a tight end. Who knows? Taysom's athletic enough, and he showed that today, that he could still maybe find a way onto an NFL roster in some capacity.
Mitch, you kind of stole my question there, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You mentioned, you know, the whole changing of positions. It sounded from your answer as though he only did position-specific drills at quarterback. He didn't do any linebacker safety type stuff?
Yeah, I didn't see anything on the defensive side, Tom. I saw it was mainly just quarterback work. From what I heard, there was, you know, a little bit of running back. I didn't see any of that, but it was all quarterback position drills for Taysom Hill today. He was throwing the ball for the running backs and the wide receivers, and for the most part, again, looked good. I mean, his season ended early against Utah State, and again, four season-ending injuries for Taysom, and he's in the best shape of his life, as he said. And it was interesting, too. I'm kind of surprised that he's even pursuing this because he does have opportunities already in the business world. I mean, Taysom's a smart guy. He's already graduated, but he said that he wants to continue to pursue this because he loves football so much. He's 26 years old. We'll have to see how that works for him. I mean, as far as being a drafted player, I don't think that's going to happen. But, hey, I think that there is an opportunity for him to stick maybe as an undrafted free agent.
Well, as we talk about a potential position change for him, because of his athleticism and his toughness but overall lack of durability and that advanced age, I mean, if you're an NFL GM or a head coach, what do you want Taysom Hill to come in as an undrafted free agent and try and play? He's too big to be a slot receiver, even if he's athletic and fast. I don't know that he's physical enough to play kind of a hybrid fullback type position, and we've seen some quarterbacks actually make that transition. He's too short to be a tight end, and he's never played defense at a high level. So what are you asking him to come in and try and play?
You know, that's a good question, Sean, because, I mean, I think maybe at first it's probably going to be quarterback, I would think, just because that is his background. That's what he's been doing since he's been in high school up at Pocatello, Idaho. But I think then you maybe consider the tight end position. I think just because the way that the tight end position has evolved in the NFL, it's not just your traditional, you know, hand in the dirt tight end blocking scheme. I think that's maybe where you could see Taysom evolve too. But I think at first he will get a chance to maybe try out as a quarterback, but then go from there and see what other options are in store for him.
Mitch, besides Taysom Hill, who had, in your opinion, this is kind of a two-part question, I guess, who had the best pro day, first of all, and second of all, outside of Harvey Lange and Jamal Williams, who else is a real candidate to get drafted out of this BYU outfit?
Yeah, I think the best guy, I think overall, just based on maybe expectations going in and where maybe his draft stock is, I would say a guy like Kainakua, and maybe that answers both of your questions. Kainakua, you know, obviously he was a huge ball hawk for BYU. Whenever BYU needed a big play, he always came through. Now, I don't think after today he's going to be drafted by any means, but I think, you know, his numbers, he put up a 39.5-inch vertical, a 4.5 40. I thought he looked good. And what helps Kainakua is that he's played special teams a lot at BYU. He has a background dating back to his high school days on the offensive side of the ball, play a lot on the defensive side, and hey, he's got good film. He's produced at a high level, and he was a starter for 3 years for BYU. So I think, you know, Kainakua could be someone that maybe a team falls in love with, and right when the draft is over, they're calling him up and reaching out to him to get into their training camp. But with Jamal Williams and Harvey Longy, I think those are the two guys that realistically are the only options BYU has to get drafted. Because still, when it comes to BYU and the draft, there's still an image problem. I mean, you go back to Bronco Mendenhall, he even said it. He said that he never spoke with scouts, GMs, to really promote these kids. It was kind of just, they didn't really communicate. Now with this staff, you know, they're corresponding with these scouts whenever these scouts visit for practices, and they'll get feedback from these coaches and get insight in these players. And BYU is making this a bigger focus to get players to the league, because honestly, if you don't have, you know, a conference, you don't have, you know, the resources compared to teams you're trying to compete against, I mean, you got to have some selling point for major recruits. And Kalani Sitake and his staff are trying to get some better recruits than ever before at BYU. They got to start producing kids to the NFL. They haven't had an offensive player drafted in the league since Dennis Pitta. So Jamal Williams is likely to end that streak. So it's important for BYU to start getting guys in the league and kind of fend off that image problem that was around the league, because, you know, it just, BYU was not producing guys at the next level under Bronco Mendenhall.
Mitch Harper of Cougar Center Podcast and the BYU Rivals site is joining us here on I Am Flash Hotline to talk about BYU's Pro Day. Obviously, former Bingham High School star, former Ute, finished his career as a Cougar and has NFL aspirations. Harvey Longy, who we've mentioned a couple times. What were his numbers?
Yeah, he had a 4.62 40, and that was the first time he ran the 40. He was obviously at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. He didn't go through the 40 there because he had mentioned that he pulled his hamstring before the combine. So he decided not to run there, put up a good number in the 40 time today. And then in the vertical, he had a 35-inch vertical, looked good in position drills as well. It's escaping me what his broad jump number was as well. But, you know, overall, I thought Longy did pretty solid in his work. There was recently, I want to say NFL.com had put him in their top 100. I thought that was a little bit too high for Longy. And honestly, from what I gather and the information that I've heard, and even Longy kind of confirmed that as well, he's kind of a little bit of a 6th to 7th round prospect at this point. And he even said that his mindset going into this process is to try and stick on special teams, because, you know, he's expected to be a middle linebacker at the next level. But if he wants to try and find a way to stick on a 53-man roster, it's going to have to be through special teams. And that's what he said after today's pro day. So that's where Longy's at. I think that he does have an opportunity to get drafted because, you know, he did play defensive end this past year. But I think scouts like his athleticism, his talent. I mean, you go back to that 2015 season, particularly against UCLA, where he was at middle linebacker. I think that's the film where a lot of scouts and a lot of people, when you talk next level for Longy, where they're going to look at and say, hopefully that type of production can show itself every single week, because against UCLA and a good offense that had Josh Rosen, he was terrific in that game at the Rose Bowl. So Longy's got some good potential. He's got good athleticism, but I think he's a later round prospect than maybe some outlets would consider at this point.
What is he weighing right now?
His weight right now, he's at 250 right now.
Okay. Because, like you said, we've seen him play defensive end, and he's a guy who might be regarded as a tweener by a lot of teams, but with his physical profile, I think 250 is, like you said, closer to that linebacker range rather than hand in the ground, maybe defensive end kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's had to shed some weight. And what's interesting, too, I was actually talking to one of the scouts to kind of get some insight. He kind of felt that he was wasted this past year at defensive end, which is interesting because, you know, Kalani Sitake, even dating back to their days at Utah when Harvey was there and Kalani was there, they always felt that, you know, there was this underlying belief that Harvey's natural position was defensive end. And then that was the sentiment during fall camp last August, was that Harvey's now at his natural position being at defensive end. This is the position that he's going to project so well at the next level. Well, now we're at this next level process, and NFL scouts tend to believe that middle linebacker is where they've always kind of forecast him. So that was kind of interesting to hear that. But he's an interesting prospect, and you know, he's always had that great talent, athleticism, even back to his days in high school when he was with Bingham High with that great team back in the day.
Mitch, before we let you go, let's go to spring ball real quick. I want to ask, BYU Spring Ball's been going on for a while now. Anything in particular that you've seen? And I guess I'm more curious as to say, with this class leaving, what position group do BYU really need to focus on come this fall?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for spring for BYU, it's kind of trying to continue to improve where their starting point was last year and try to build and get some more momentum. Because I think offensively, I think they feel pretty confident with the quarterback, offensive line spot. There's some big questions for BYU at the running back and wide receiver spots. And naturally, that's to be expected. You're replacing a guy like Jamal Williams, who we just discussed, went through a pro day today. But, you know, the wide receiver spot is a huge issue for BYU. I mean, they're going to come, they're going to have their spring game tomorrow, and still, you know, they're almost at the end of spring ball. I don't think BYU feels they have a number one or even number two wide receiver at this point. It's still pretty much up in the air. So that's a huge issue. I mean, Tanner Mangum can be great, but if he doesn't have any targets or tools to throw the ball to, I mean, you know, what good is it? But they do really like their offensive line, and at this point, Ty Detmers said that they feel that they have 8 or 9 guys at the offensive line spot that they still can produce in games, which is a huge change from where they've been in previous years, where maybe they had about 5 or 6 guys that they had trust in. And on the defensive side of the ball, you know, I think there's a lot of returning talent there. I mean, defensive line is probably the biggest question, and how do you replace Kai Nakua at the safety spot? But overall, I think BYU's depth has kind of surprised me a little bit, that they're getting more talent into the program. You're seeing Kalani Sitake and the staff make a huge emphasis on the defensive line, and rightfully so. I mean, that's what Kalani learned at Utah. I mean, that's his blueprint. The way he's running his program is what he saw at Utah. It's going to be rely on your defense, have a solid offense that you feel can give you 24 to maybe 27 points a game. Your defense ultimately in the trenches is going to win you ball games. That's what BYU is making their focus, and you're seeing it with the personnel. They're starting to get into the pipeline, and it's showing face right now in spring football.
That's Mitch Harper. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mitch_Harper. Appreciate you taking the time, Mitch. We'll talk again soon.
Hey, it was a pleasure being on, guys. Talk to you soon.